Today's episode of Lighting Up the Marquee is sponsored by Dark Sales Productions. In today's world, video is the best way to share your story. Whether you're looking to market your business or brand on social media, or even share amazing memories like your wedding and other events, Dark Sales Productions is committed to creating the best content and capturing your most precious memories for you. Based in the Chicagoland area, Dark Sales Productions has worked with clients in the past to help market both local businesses and larger brands, capture newlyweds' perfect day, produce short films, and even work with individuals looking to have professional photos and headshots taken. No matter the business occasion or individual, Dark Sales Productions is ready to work with you. All you have to do is visit the website darksalesproductions.com to learn more about them, and you can also contact them to get started on your next project. That's darksalesproductions.com. And if you go over there and mention that you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee, they'll hook you up with some special offers. Once again, that's darksalesproductions.com. All you got to do is mention that you listen to this ad on Lighting Up the Marquee, and some special offers will be there waiting for you. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
Oh my god.
Ew, hate that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Leech meeting.
I forgot about that. I hate it.
It's like, I do not consent.
I do not. But yeah. No, she's cool. She's a good little cat. We found her really young, so it's like a little bit of extra stuff you need to do to make sure that, you know, they're healthy and everything. But she's probably around 5 weeks now, so she's going to slowly start to like get back into, like, she's going to be able to be a little bit more independent little by little.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
she handling with sushi.
Good. I think my mom kind of like showed her the fish a little bit, and she kind of couldn't care less. She's a little bit like still in her own world, but mm-hmm. I'm worried that once she can get big enough to like jump on counters and tables and stuff, she'll start like pawing at it and everything. Yeah. But yeah,
just going to commit murder.
Of a murder sushi.
Yeah. Man.
Well, we are back.
Yes.
Hey.
Lighting Up the Marquee's back. I was talking to Arsenio last night. There hasn't been an episode since June, too. So I thought it was for some reason. I'm like, no, I did one in August, but nope. Weren't we
supposed to do one in August? And it just hasn't, we just never could get it.
I think, well, because when I came up to Naperville or to Aurora, we were going to do one, but mm-hmm. we got busy with the weekend.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now we're officially doing it. We're back. We're going to be talking all about sushi, what we've mm-hmm. been doing the last few months. We got Alex and Nick here.
Yes, we are here.
What's up?
Hello. I'm so low energy right now.
Honestly,
good time to do a podcast.
I know. I'm so tired. So tired.
I just ate so much food after biking like all day. So I'm hitting a real low today.
Well, I told you like right before the setting up my gear, I'm just like, man, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's all right. It might help maybe get you inspired to keep the podcast going a little bit. It might not too. This might be for nothing, but
this is the last episode. Fuck it. No, the podcast is still going to be on hiatus. This is just a little fun episode we're doing. Just a little one-off just to, you know, show everybody we're still alive.
Alive and well,
very busy, but yeah, we'll keep doing the podcast. It won't be like how it was like every 2 weeks. I'll probably bring that back eventually, but you know, for now we're all super busy.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk all about what we've been doing since June, when I'm pretty sure that's when we started pre-production for sushi.
Yeah. That's when I asked you.
Yeah.
Oh really? I thought it was before that actually.
No, cause no, it was June. I remember being so like down in the dumps, and I was like, fuck it. I want us to create something. So I messaged him. I was like, hey, do you want to direct this thing? It's like, it's at the time it was like 12, 13 pages. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah. And now
let's
we're
go.
Here.
That's cool.
Yeah, I remember because she'd sent me the script, and then we had kept going back and forth because the script you had sent me was still very rough and needed very much polishing and clarification on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was like, I'll bring Nick on as a cinematographer.
Because I'm cheap.
Because you're cheap. Because I could afford you.
No, yeah, that's cool though. It was really cool to finally do like a film, because everything I was doing before was just videography, you know, style of work, and to actually be able to like use all of my gear and to like make something with it was a really cool and like satisfying feeling. It was fun to do that.
Well, because not only did we get brought on as Alex as the writer, me the director and cinematographer, all three of us kind of took it on us as producing and taking up that role, and none of us had producing experience as far as actually setting up, you know, the budget and crew and casting.
We just kind of won it
pretty much.
Yeah, if anything, you two probably had the closest thing to experience, because when I was at Columbia with you guys, I never took producing classes. And when I took the directing classes though, like I only took D1, and basically that was just like, what's your idea? Here's all your stuff. Go do it. You guys had to think about budget at some point in time. I'm sure, at least maybe I'm wrong, but I never even had that. I was just like, that's the camera. Let's do it. You're in charge of everything else. So like for me, it was a real big change, but a necessary like experience to learn that stuff, because now with some future projects, I'm sure we'll talk about, like, I know I have a better idea of where to go with it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the one that Alex and I had a meeting for last night with, I'm not gonna say, we're gonna keep it under wraps.
Ooh, secrets.
But no, I don't think we took producing classes in LA, or like as far as like a budgeting class, they didn't really teach us that in LA. I think the closest I may have got to like a producing angle, or not even like, it's not producing, but thinking about other things, was I took a assistant director's, I think it was called like AD workshop at Columbia. Okay. Where that class, you start thinking like an AD as far as safety protocols, how many people are on set. Like you break down a script and you're like, okay, there's a stunt, there's this factor. So like I looked at it too from a producer standpoint. It's like, all right, everything in the script, like we have this and this and this to think about, especially with like the sushi script is like, okay, there's a dog, there's a fish. Mm-hmm. So like animals on set, there's all these other factors. Like there wasn't too many in the script for sushi. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it was, and everything that we did have that may have been a little bit complicated, it was easy because like you know, Alex, it was her dog, it was just, you know, we had a betta fish, very easy, things like that that were totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, Nick, I'm kind of like the same as you. I only took a D1. I think the closest thing for me was my script supervision class.
Okay.
That's not really in the same boat, but this is like my first real experience doing producing. So,
okay.
I think the only thing
that, boat.
Yeah.
I think the only differential thing from D1 and D2 is in D2, you have to do a location shoot. So then you have to think about like booking a location. So that might kind of play into producing, is like, okay, we have to find locations, but 95% of Columbia students just shoot in someone's apartment.
Mm hmm.
Because getting a location sucks, especially in Chicago.
Oh, all the permits and all that stuff.
All the permits. Benefits of Valparaiso.
Hey.
That's where we filmed sushi, and kind of Naperville with some B-roll that Nick and I went and shot at.
Yeah. So which we didn't need permits for that.
No, we're tourists. What are you talking about? We just want to get the city scene.
Yeah.
No, but like that was the thing, because I think Alex, you were more in contact with the city of Valpo and like their city hall and making sure we had all the proper paperwork filled out, and then I had to go sit in a meeting.
Yeah. So my mom, well, my family is like, I don't know how or why, but they have insane connections all over Valparaiso and really Indiana. I don't know why, but
it's a mafia thing.
It's the mafia.
The Valpo mafia.
I'll do that in confidence. But yeah, so everyone kind of knows everyone. You know, the boutique is a family friend owned place. My aunt used to work there long time ago. And they just kind of, my family just kind of steered me in the right direction, and it paid off. It pays to know everyone in a small town, I guess.
Cause I think,
very true.
Cause we started doing this back in June. When I forgot exactly when I drove up, and you and me, Alex, we went and location scouted.
That was in July, I believe.
It was. It had to have been like early July or something around then.
It was, because I think I had work. I had like a wedding I was filming that weekend or something, and that's why I couldn't make it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because then around the time of my birthday, I came back up, and all three of us revisited the locations we had in mind, and were making sure we could lock down a couple, mm-hmm. like the boutique store.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we did that too. Location scouting, like that's somebody else's job that we had to do.
Got to do it. I mean, there was literally what, 8 of us in total. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, it also, I think it pays for like the director, even the cinematographer, to go location scout if they can. I mean, they're gonna be there shooting. It's better they feel the space out. You can't really. I mean, if you can pay for it and you have to, you send people, but. It's good that if you get to go, I think you should go. I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it was good that Alex and I went, and then all three of us went, so that you and me, Nick, could be like, okay, this is our space. Like, how are we gonna frame all these shots or work with what we have in our shot list?
Right.
As far as like, especially in that boutique store where we were very limited in space. The wood floor was super loud. The AC was super loud when we went in there.
That is the loudest store I've ever been in. Like, I don't know how they managed to do it to get like the loudest floors and the loudest AC.
And the weird and the weirdest mural outside.
Yeah. I mean, it's a vibe.
It is a vibe. I mean, we didn't discuss, we didn't even like really look at the mural until our good friend Ian pointed it out. And it was just like, you ever look at this?
Well, we saw it from like the first time when we were doing our location scout, we saw it far away, and you're like, oh, that's really cool. And then once we like actually looked up close, it was interesting.
There's a man with a horse shirt in the mural.
I love you.
I love you with the melted teddy bear.
We should have taken a picture, and then that'll have been the poster.
Honestly, I mean, I have the photo.
Do you have a photo of the whole mural?
Not of the whole mural, but I have I gotta scroll through because Ian helped out with behind the scenes photos and took about 1500 photos. So I have to scroll through all of them.
I had to take some off my phone because my phone was like crammed for storage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how my phone is right now. Thanks, Ian.
It's funny.
I mean, you could transfer that to your computer.
I think they are on the computer because I had to send them to him so he can work on it for our Indiegogo backers.
Gonna suck for the backers. They don't have a lot of photos. Yeah, I really wish that was a real shirt because I would buy it.
I'm pretty sure you could just make it.
Of course.
Just go to what's the website?
Some t-shirt website. Yeah, I mean, you probably could, but I want to buy it.
I mean, if you make it, you can buy it.
It's true. You have to.
But that's too much work.
We should all get matching t-shirts.
Matching horse t-shirts.
Horse.
That'll be for the rap party.
Oh my god, we should do that. Hand them out to everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, we location scouted, and then I think the next process we were doing was casting, trying to figure out who to get for the parts.
Mm-hmm. You had Kelly in mind already, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Kelly in mind just because me and her have known each other since, I think 2015 is when I met her. And we'd always been wanting to work on a project together, and everything either fell through or just like the timing wasn't right, or I would be working on something and she was busy, or I think I had something I was going to shoot with her. She moved to LA before it happened, I believe. I don't know all the details, but we were going to work on stuff in the past and nothing ever came about of it. And then I jokingly texted her, would you be able to shoot a film in Indiana at this time? Like, as a joke, because I was like, oh, she probably is busy or whatever.
Did she know it was a joke, or you just did it thinking I did it. She's going to say no?
It's one of those things where you send the text and you're like, oh, I'll send this, but I kind of already know the answer would be no. Yeah,
it's a Hail Mary. They call it a Hail Mary.
No, it's a joke.
It's a well, joke. A joke implies that you're not even making the film.
Well, I mean, what if we just made sushi all around this, like text?
Yeah.
Like, hey,
you starts with a joke. Now I have to make a movie. I
we
asked
have this
to be
film like shooting. Can you be in it? Yeah, sure. Oh fuck. We gotta run.
Alex, get any script
Alex,
you have.
Alex, come
done.
On.
That's funny.
So then it was a Hail Mary, not a joke. And she said, yeah, she was free. We talked to her because I think I knew she was part of SAG. So we had to work out, you know, paperwork with them to make sure we're doing everything properly. So more paperwork was added onto us.
Love paperwork.
And then we had to look for, because I believe we casted her right away as Sam. Because
mm-hmm.
both you and I, Alex, were looking at Kelly's headshot and we both agreed she fit the role of Sam out of the three characters we had in the script.
Yeah. And I think we had her read for all of them, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Yeah. And then out of all of them, she kind of fit that Sam mold better than the other two.
Yeah. And then you, I believe in that same week, had we didn't cast, but you had, because you were part of a wedding.
Yeah, so my childhood best friend, I've known her literally all my life. She got married in September, but she had her, I want to say, bridal party in June. I think it was the last week of June. And Erin, who plays Ryder, she was actually one of her bridesmaids. And my friend kind of introduced me to her party, and she's like, oh, this is Erin. She's one of my bridesmaids. Erin and I started talking, and for some reason, I felt very compelled to tell her that I was filming a movie at the end of August or whenever. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. I'm an actor. Because I mentioned that we are still looking for people. And I was like, you don't happen to do comedy, right? Or whatever. And she's like, well, yeah,
that's all I do.
That's all I do.
No, she's like, that's what I do, comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, just let me get your info. And
we found our lead.
That was like the freakiest instance of like, of course, I find our lead when I was like, because we were kind of freaking out that we weren't finding people.
Well, yes.
There was other things too.
Yes and no, there was other things.
Budget was another one.
Budget was the other thing. We'll talk about budget in a bit. Yeah. But the thing about Erin that impressed me the most was we had her read for, not only we had her read for Ryder, but we also had her read for, I think, all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, because I think we had her read for Sam too. But Erin nailed both parts in both her auditions.
I was like, damn, she's too good.
But I think we both agreed. Because I don't know if you saw the audition, Nick, but I know Alex and I both agreed that Erin way more fit the part of Ryder.
I mean, I can see that. I don't think I saw her
I shot the film. I saw it.
I don't mean that. I mean, like, I could see how she obviously could be good in both, because I think she's very talented. I think all three of the girls that we casted are very talented. But definitely, like with Erin, that was like the best choice. I feel like it's funny how, like with films, how like body language and even just like stature is so important, because when Sam and Erin see each other for the first time, like Kelly does a really good job with her body language to like at least is my opinion, to kind of show Ryder that like she doesn't care anymore, and you know, like she's over it, not over it completely, because you can tell there's some emotion there, but she's just like, I don't need this right now. I feel like Ryder, like when I read the script, it's almost exact when, because I'd never seen Aaron before, and then when I saw Aaron on set, that's, I'm like, well, this is what I thought Ryder would look like and act like and sound like, even. So it, yeah, like to Alex's point, it kind of is weird how that all just kind of perfectly happened. But to say like about Aaron's talent, like, yeah, I can totally see how she could have probably been a good Sam. I think Kelly did a great job, but I think everyone was casted perfectly, because even like Olivia's character, I don't think it would have made as much sense if like Olivia was one of the other girls, if that makes, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what I think I told Alex too after we casted Olivia. Because I think Olivia's part was actually the hardest part to cast. We had, I think, six girls audition for that part, I believe. Five or six, I know that.
Mm-hmm. A good, you know, group of women. But I think it was two scenes, and yet the hardest one we could find
is the one for two scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the best part of getting Olivia was not only she nailed her audition, but her and Aaron are friends. So it's like they already have that pre-existing relationship off camera. So it felt more natural on camera.
Thank God.
Which was
lucky.
And all three of them, like Nick said, all three of them are very talented. They were all great to work with on set. Like I was telling them the whole time we were shooting, I was like, go off book as much as you want, but like, you know, keep to the main points of the story. And I think especially Aaron was killing it with all her improv on set. Mm-hmm. Everything felt natural.
I loved it.
Love it.
Is I know obviously Aaron does comedy. Does Olivia does comedy as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they both, okay. Do they work together a lot, or do they just kind of go to the same, did they go to the same school?
No,
they didn't go to the same school.
Okay.
I forgot how they met, but they didn't go to the same school, but
okay.
I don't know. Cause I think Olivia,
was it through like Second City or something, or like,
it might be, because I know Olivia moved here. So I don't, or went to school in Boston. That's all I know.
That sounds familiar.
But
cool.
We'll figure it out.
It was
we'll figure it out later.
Yeah. And I was just curious. No, it worked out. The casting was really good. But I think the perfect casting was the fish.
No, fuck that fish.
That fish had a death wish.
That fish was the hardest actor to actually, no, the dog was the hardest actor to work with.
Dog was literally pulling actresses.
There's literally a clip of behind the scenes of Ian being like, Tim, control your actor, because the dog is going crazy.
Yeah,
she's a baby, okay, give her some leeway.
So then we had our cast, and then I think that's when we were really, well, then we had to nail down crew, and that was kind of a hassle as well, because we had a bunch of people, and then it was like about a couple weeks before filming, and a lot of people started getting busy or realized they couldn't do it. So it's like we had to figure out how to make our crew work.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people had to put on a lot of hats, as we say. I mean, we all doubled up. I kind of tripled up with being a script soup, but that was fun.
Well, then we had your sister Sophia, or mm-hmm. Nick's sister Sophia. We had her not only as like kind of a PA, but she was also sound mixing and boom op, and she's also now she's doing like our marketing and social mm-hmm. media, and she was doing the social media stuff as well for promoting
the production.
Yeah,
that was fun though. I mean, again, more experience, you know, more things to kind of learn. Even my sister, who has no film experience, like mixing and doing the sound, like she had a fun time. She actually told me, this is a funny story. So she's on set. I think this was day one. And the, what I love, and I'm sure you guys have done this before at Columbia, what I love about doing the sound is just listening to people's conversations. So Sophia, we were at, we cut obviously. And I think Tim, you might've been talking to Kelly or somebody. You might've actually been, you and Alex might've been talking. And I was doing my thing. And Sophia told me this like the next weekend. She didn't tell me this the day of, but apparently she had the mic still on, not recording. And she kind of had it, I guess, in Aaron's direction. And something happened where Aaron was just talking to herself. And I think Sophia thought at first she was like either repeating lines or she was just, you know, sometimes you think out loud. And she, you know, so Sophia like didn't hear it right away because it was on low volume. So she just raised the volume. She didn't even point the mic. She just raised the volume a little bit. And she's like, all I heard was Aaron go balls, 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 balls.
There she is. That's Aaron.
And then Aaron looks at Sophia like, could you hear me? And Sophia's dying. She's just laughing so hard. And then they both start laughing. I didn't see this happening. When Sophia told me, I think this was the first day. This had to be in the neighborhood when we were filming scene 8, I think it was.
Yeah, that was the very first thing we shot.
Yeah, I think it was that location. So you and me, we all might have been trying to figure out like what are we gonna do with these cars? And here's fucking Aaron cars. Just balls, 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 balls.
That was,
oh man, I was dying.
That is our Aaron.
Oh God, love her.
Oh, that's so funny. That was the best part about like Columbia. If like you had to be like a boom op or a sound mixer, just like listening.
You know the story with friggin' Andrew's set. Like that was amazing for me.
Please tell it for the audience though.
Well, it's hard to explain as far as like the film. What was funny about it was doing the audio for one of our fellow student filmmakers at Columbia. He was doing, it was a D1, and he was just the movie he was making.
Should we promote it? Because it's on YouTube. People can go watch this.
Icebreaker, it's called, right?
Called the Icebreaker. Yeah.
The Icebreaker. Yeah. It's just, it was one of those things where like when you watch, you know, it's,
it's like the room. The circumstances around this film, I felt bad for him because his lead actor dropped out the night before, right? Like that was the story. So then his roommate was like, oh, I act, I can fill in. So he's like, cool.
But he was more a rapper, I guess. And
yeah, he's a rapper and I guess froze on set, right?
Like, here's the thing, Tim. He didn't just freeze. It was almost like he didn't understand the concept of acting. I don't want to shit on anyone, but it's just, the thing is, it was just, they were trying to do something and it wasn't working. So just me being there on set as the sound guy, I mean, it was me and Angel Soto, if you remember him from our D1, mm-hmm. I think he was doing the mixing. I was holding the boom, and just to be on that set was just one of those things I will never forget until the day I die. It's just one of the most fun and funniest things ever. But yeah, when you're on a set, I think that's gotta be one of the most entertaining roles, is to be the sound guy.
Because here's what I don't know if Sophia heard it, but I heard it when I was putting together the assembly cut of the film. There was this guy that was like talking to our AD Hannah, and like they obviously like walked off because we were trying to film and stuff, and Sophia's not pointing the mic at him.
Yeah,
but in the edit when Kelly and Aaron aren't talking, I can perfectly hear his conversation because he's talking so loud.
Man had a his voice carried.
It cut above like the downtown ambient noise,
which is a talent.
It is a talent, especially in Valpo with all those motorcycles, as Aaron loved.
I listen the two times we've been there, and also I've been going there my entire life. I have never seen so many motorcycles there ever. Why that weekend? I don't know.
I don't know. There's an amazing outtake where Aaron just gets fed up with motorcycles. She like looks up and is just like, does everybody have a motorcycle in this town?
That was funny.
But then we had to, as producers, this is back to pre-production, while we were getting the crew together, we had to come up with a budget and figure out how we're gonna get this movie made. Because we're not at Columbia anymore, so we need money.
Yeah. Well, originally we thought it would be 5,000.
No, originally we thought it was going to be 3,000.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Originally was around 3,000. Yeah.
Okay. I think when we started adding in expenses that we didn't think about, like insurance, as well as even the SAG stuff, and then festivals, you know, and maybe a few other things here and there. Festivals. That's when it bumped up.
Well, then it was. I talked to Braden about sound design. That's with his company. One, yeah. So I remember he initially said it was going to be like $100 per minute of footage, I believe is what he had texted me. So I'm like, okay, let's make it be like, it's going to be a 20 minute film, like roughly. So let's set aside $2,000 for that. So that's, I think, where our budget shot up, is because of the sound design.
Yeah.
Which is what we needed. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain things you kind of have to. You have to do it. Sound's one of them. You gotta get good sound.
Get good sound. Good image. Yeah. So it's like we factored all that in, the hotels, which we'll tell that story too. We'll talk all about our hotel experience. But yeah, then I think it was the part I think I hated the most was the Indiegogo, like making the Indiegogo.
That took honestly forever. Well, not every, like the whole thing, I think just the description took the most, and I don't know why it took that long, but it was a pain in the ass.
It was like all that. Well, it's like also like you could save it, which was great, but then it would be like, oh, you still need to do this section, and it's like you thought you already did it, but then it wouldn't let you keep going unless you did it, which was annoying.
I think it's good for future reference to maybe start an Indiegogo early and just don't put it live until you're ready.
Well, here's the
banking information, all that stuff you need to do prior. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, the Indiegogo, you can only have a max campaign of up to 60 days.
But does that include if it's not live? Because I think you can start it. You can have the page ready. No,
once it goes live, you only have 60 days. Like that's the max you can have the campaign live. So it's like, they said you could do a second campaign. Like if it's for the same thing, you can do a second one. You just have to change the name. It can't be like the exact same name.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like, if we're doing this project we want to do that's feature length, if we want to do a campaign and we don't get enough, obviously for this one, we would have to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'm sorry, Tim, your face is washed out. I'm so going bad here.
It's so bad. I'm literally trying to move in so many positions. It's bad for you. I can't see.
Close the blinds.
No, the thing about it is it's the sun on my window. It's like an arch. It's above the spot where the blinds are.
Oh shit.
You gotta relocate.
The blinds are shut, but it's like right above it in the one spot where I don't have blinds. So I'm just gonna sit back like this.
There you go.
Looks comfortable.
It's not. It's digging into my back.
Your back's gonna be so screwed up.
I definitely have scoliosis.
My back is already screwed up. I wake up every day feeling broken.
Hey, that's 25 for you.
25. Did that happen to you when you turned 25, Nick? Just like every bone in your body just feels broken.
No, not really.
Fuck you.
It's just,
come on, man.
No, it's just I got you definitely have to be more careful. I don't know. I hate complaining because every time you can never win though, because like you ever complain about like being a certain age, but there's always that one person that's like 2 days older than you, like, you don't even know. It's like, dude, fuck off. Like
you're 2 days. Right.
Yeah.
What happened to you in those 2 days?
It's just like something. Oh my god.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just lucky me, I guess, but like the day after I turned 25, my back was like, we're gonna go from a level 4 to a level 8 for pain. Oh my God. And just ride that shit for the foreseeable future.
That's literally how I was.
That's terrible. I'll tell you what though, I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say it again. Pilates is a lifesaver. I did that 2 times a week for like 6 weeks and I had like sciatica, completely took care of it.
I did yoga for like my last semester because I didn't give a shit at that point. And let me it was so relaxing and I've never felt like more my back aligned. ever.
Yeah.
So maybe I should should go back.
I should have done Pilates in LA, gone the full LA lifestyle.
You should have. We should have.
Should have. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we were very busy.
Were we?
Yeah. Dude, I was out every night.
Oh.
Tim, oh, I guess no one invited me.
No one invited me.
Well, that's...
No, our crew, of like me, Ian, Haley, and Ryan all just like stuck together. We're just like, let's just stay together.
Well, I mean, I never ventured out of my group with Nathan, Seb, Ulysses, Dapper.
It was just five of us. It was a very interesting group in LA. Let's say that.
Yeah.
That's a story for another day.
Just leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. So then I think we ultimately came to the decision for our budget. I feel like, I don't know how 7,000 got thrown out. I think we had 5,000 and then we added the 2,000 for Brayden.
Mm-hmm. I think it was also the hotels too, because I remember we thought about hotels, and then I remember when we started researching, and then we're like, oh fuck. Yeah. Like, you know, well, we're then, like, they're gonna have to.
Then the closer we got to the shooting date, because we hadn't reserved the hotel yet, it was like a month out too. I was like, okay, I'm gonna, like, we have to book a hotel because the price is just going up like every day.
Yeah,
big mistakes were made on my part on that.
Okay, I have to go on record. I did say that La Quinta, that was not a good choice.
Here's the thing. It fit within our here's the thing. It fit within our budget. I knew it wouldn't be the best hotel, but I'm like, it fits in our budget.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't realize how bad it was. Yeah. So I couldn't even find it, because I think you and Raphael were already there, Nick.
Yeah, we were the first ones. And when I drove up, I saw the La Quinta sign, but I couldn't figure out how the hell to get in there. Because when you first go in, like, you know, like when you're on a main road and then you make a right turn into like a plaza area, when you turn, there's other things. And then you're like, where the hell is this La Quinta? And then the front is in the back, technically speaking.
Yeah.
So like, that's why it got confusing.
Well, then,
and then I remember driving. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I remember driving. And then as I realized it was La Quinta, I saw people hanging out outside in the parking lot. So my first thought was, oh my God, we're in a motel. It's like, whoa, what is this?
Here's the because I drove up to the Quality Inn, which was right next to the La Quinta, and both have the exact same color scheme and the exact same like paint job on the building of like this beige tan ugly building and green and yellow color scheme. And I'm in their parking lot and there's like nobody. I'm like, Nick, where are you? And he's like, we're standing out front. I'm like, I see people with motorcycles. You're like, so do I. I'm like, but I don't see you. So then I drive around and I find it, and it's, yeah, like people are just hanging out in the parking lot. And like you said, it felt like a motel. We were across, like literally not even across the street, like over a fence. There was a Motel 6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember I looked out our window and some guy opened the door and just stared at me from the motel. And I went, no.
Close your lips.
Yeah. But I think I was like, okay, this isn't the best. That was like the first sign. And then when we were checking in, the lady had all of us in the room who were staying in the room. They're like, okay, fill out what car you have, like driver's license, like plate, and like make and model. And I'm just like, I've never had a hotel ask me what kind of car I'm driving.
They must get people that hang. So I think it's people go hang out there. Probably drugs are in that parking lot. I mean, because why else would they need to document if you're actually like staying there or not? You know what I mean?
No, I'm 100% in agreement with that.
Yeah. So,
but then we unload all of your gear, Nick, all of our stuff. And we're like we should get this into the room quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. 'Cause there's people just watching us, like literally, yeah, as we were
outside that door, that one door, of course, that we had to walk into.
And they're just staring at us as we're like, yeah, grabbing our suitcases and stuff. I'm like, okay. I mean, it was you, me, Raphael, and Ian, and we're all pretty, like,
yeah,
pretty big guys and, like, you know, can handle ourselves, especially all four of us. Like,
yeah, but still.
Yeah, still, know, I don't want to do know that.
Yeah.
But then
I got my gear, you know.
But then we're walking in, and the lady, like, house cleaning, housekeeping is like cleaning four rooms at once, and like her kid is in one of the rooms watching YouTube on the TV, and like she's cleaning the room with incense.
It smelled like a hookah bar.
Yeah, because she has the incense. She just put it on the door. Like
it smelled like a hookah bar. It didn't smell great.
It didn't look clean. It looked like she literally was just like flipping the sheets.
The biggest thing with that was, because I've stayed at La Quinta's before. So when you said La Quinta, when we were thinking about hotels, I didn't really think anything of it. I thought, okay, La Quinta, I'm sure it's cheap enough, or at least in our budget, like, you know, we'll make it work. It's just for a weekend. Plus, like, even though there was going to be like four guys in one room, two beds, like we'll figure it out. It's like, you know, we're just out of like college. It's not like it's a big deal. The problem became definitely like the health, like the cleanliness of it. But then also just the weird, like you can tell when they're suspicious people. And when you're rocking gear, like that's expensive. And when you're in a place you don't know that well, it's you want to be a little careful.
I think the factor that it came down to was we got a call from, because Kelly and Aaron were also staying at the hotel. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if we all went out to dinner that night or if we all just like met up.
We went and did something.
Well, you, Nick, and Roth, you guys, I don't know where you guys went. I just remember
it was the Fridays.
Me, Ian. No, wait. It was you.
We all
went to Target.
We all went to Target together, correct? And then
was Kelly and Aaron with us though? Or
no, Kelly and Aaron went and got dinner. They went to that Thai place or something that they had.
Oh yeah, they went and got. Oh yeah, they got Thai, and then they went. They were like, "Oh, we're gonna go back to the hotel and run lines."
Yes. And then the three of you, with Ian, you guys. I forgot where you guys were gonna go or were trying to do.
So but all then, of us went to Target, but then you and Ralph went somewhere else.
We went to go get food.
Also went to, because we were gonna go get food in downtown Valpo, because I remember we parked in front of the courthouse when Kelly called us. And she basically was like, hey, we're moving hotels, like we're gonna pay for it, don't worry. But like she was like, there's weird people literally hanging outside their door, like not like in the hallway, like outside their door, just like being weird. They were like, we don't feel safe. They said they found their room was, I guess, way worse as far as cleanliness. Mm-hmm. They were like, I think they said there was a stain, like a wet stain on the bed.
Yeah.
And like all this, I think they said they found bugs. I think they said they found bed bugs on the other bed.
Yeah. That was a big, that's like a killer for me. I'm done. You said bed bugs?
No. Nope. I'm out.
I'll do spiders. That's fine because I can kill them or get rid of them. Bed bugs
that are just like
bed bugs. No.
But I think that was what, you know, and I think we all were talking was like, okay, like, yes, we're going to be taking the gear out of the room each day, but there's also the factor of like, we're going to be lugging it in and out of the room constantly. Like,
with people watching.
With people watching, and especially people who are hanging outside the door. Like, we're like, okay. So. That was a fun night dealing with switching hotels. And
I was with Raphael, and when you called me, Tim, and told me that whole thing, I remember I got off the phone and I went back inside. We were at some restaurant, and I went back inside.
Fridays.
Was it Friday?
TGI Fridays.
Was it Fridays or Chili's? I think it was Chili's, dude.
No, it was Fridays. I remember. Yeah, because I think you guys were like, there's a Fridays over there.
Okay. I don't remember if it was Fridays or Chili's. It was one of those chains restaurants that I don't go to. And Raphael was like, I want to go there. I was like, all right, man. So we go, and I go back inside, and then I'm like, you're not going to believe this. He's like, what now? Because there were so many like other things. What was the other thing? There was something else that happened. Wasn't there something else that happened that day that like we were trying to figure out? I feel like there was something, not like bad, just something that we had to do. Something we were, I can't remember what it was. Because when you called me, Tim, and you said everything that happened with the hotel, it was just, I remember looking at Tim like, oh man, this is, or not Tim, I'm sorry, looking at Raphael like, this is not a good sign. Like, this is not a good start. I forgot what it was. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it was something really, really small, but, that whole thing was very interesting.
Yeah. Well then, cause we had canceled the room that night and the lady wouldn't print us a receipt. She's like, you have to come back in the morning. And I'm like, okay, well, we have to shoot in the morning. This is going to like, you know, not set us back so completely, stupid. But it's just like an unnecessary, stupid. Like, okay, we're going to go there first thing in the morning. And Ian and I went, I think it was just Ian and I went to go grab the receipt, and Ian, like, no one's at the front desk, and Ian, like, goes back to the door to see the lady, and he's like, she was asleep back there. Like, he's like, I had to wake her up.
Oh, she had the overnight shift. Oh,
but then she couldn't find our, like, she, like, didn't think our room existed. She's like, what room were you guys in? We're like, we were in these rooms. And she's like, I don't have anything for that. I'm like, yes, you do. Like,
she literally checked us into it.
I was like, did you literally check us out and then recheck somebody in?
That's crazy.
That's so weird. Like, I mean, when I went, because originally I was staying with my mom, just outside of downtown, but I was in the car with you guys, and we're like, we just need to get to the hotel as soon as possible. So I was with you guys, but I remember going in there, and I felt the vibe was like super off the second you get into the building. First, like, I don't know what it was, but they were like,
it just wasn't a clean place. No, you know, it wasn't.
Well, we found that party popper when.
We found the party popper. And then when Ian and I drove back the next day, we saw one of the windows was completely busted out and had like plywood over it. Mm-hmm. That wasn't there the night before.
Mm. Nice. I remember just everyone in that room just grabbing as much gear as you can carry, and just all five of us just carrying everything, just darting outside and just like, shutting everything, cars.
Everything in one go. Let's get everything in one.
It was such a weird experience because we stayed at the La Quinta, and it's right off the highway, right off the freeway in Merrillville. And we ended up switching over to the Hilton, which was literally on the other side of the street.
But in Hobart.
By what?
It's in Hobart. Like, so yeah, that's, it's like the line.
The border. So yeah, but it's like just crossing the street was like totally different vibes of like the whole area.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really nice of Kelly to offer to like pay for it herself too. And everything. Like, she did not have to do that.
Well, I told Alex, I was like, I feel like we would have been more stressed with the budget if.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Cause like,
I mean,
cause our one room alone for the four nights costed the equivalent of both of the rooms at the La Quinta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ended up working out, but it definitely. Well,
because even with you saying, like, yeah, like me, you, Raph, and Ian in one room at the La Quinta would have been cramped. Mm-hmm. Like, it was already cramped enough at the Hilton. And yeah. Hilton was way bigger.
Yeah.
Not way bigger, but.
It was compared to more roomy.
Yeah.
And that's why I was telling you, Tim, like, for future projects, even if it's not in the budget, I might go out of pocket and just spend money for a hotel. Because the one thing I've realized in life in general is sometimes it's worth to spend a little extra money on yourself and just be comfortable, because that peace of mind really makes a difference for your work, no matter what you do for a living, mm-hmm. whether it's something fun, like how we get to make movies, or for people in business, even sometimes going a little bit extra for yourself, it makes a difference. So I can't do that again.
That's why the last night, like, Raph's a great guy. I kind of wish he would have left that night, because I would have had that whole room to myself. I would have pushed the beds together, been like,
the king is finally rested.
The king is finally rested.
That's funny. What a way to start the shoot, you know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I feel like that was we had a few more hiccups throughout the weekend, and I do want to have us talk a little bit about on-set stuff, but I think that was like our biggest like speed bump, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Cause the next day went surprisingly very smoothly, as far as like, I know scene 8, we talk about the hardest thing about that was just cause we're filming on a road. We obviously couldn't close it. Cause I think we would have had to pay to close it. So we made sure to tell the city, like, we don't need to close, but like, we're filming here. Mm-hmm. It was morning traffic of cars speeding by on a back road neighborhood.
For some reason, I don't know why, everyone had to be somewhere that Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And you know, gardeners are working,
leaf blowers.
Some dude raking leaves and just.
Yeah.
Every single noise you could possibly think of outside happened.
Mm-hmm. I just remember Sophia's face every time a new sound would happen. She'd look up like.
There's so many shots. I think I saw some of Ian's behind the scenes footage while we were like in Valpo. And there's one of him like recording you and me, Nick. And I'm literally like, I keep checking like each side of the road because I'm like, all right, we're almost through the take. We're almost through the take. Come on. Almost there.
Yeah.
And then we'll get near the end and I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah.
I was so like, I was about to stop a car. I was so over it. I was like, no, you need to stop.
My favorite is in one of the takes. There's a car in the background that like stops because they see us. And I'm like, well, that's as bad as like, that's like a person just stopping and staring at the camera.
Yeah.
Just, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good that we decided to kind of use that other street. I mean, you do what you got to do, but
I think it
worked out.
I honestly kind of think it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
in the end, it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else did we film that first day? I forget. We went downtown. Yeah, but didn't we also do?
Oh yeah, we went and we saw the metal detector guy.
That's right. We saw that. Yeah, so we went there for like a couple minutes. So
yeah, we went there right before lunch because it was the scene prior to scene 8. And we pull up to it's on Valpo's campus. It's like by their fraternities and sororities. But some fucking dude is just out with a metal detector just by himself.
He was fine and stuff. Like every time I saw him, he was like digging.
Well, we pulled up and he saw us and just went back in his car and was just like waiting to see what we would do. And then as soon as he saw what we were doing, he's like, all right, I'm going to get back out. He's like, they're not cops.
I wonder if he thought we were competitors. And it's like, yes, we brought our own metal detectors.
Yeah. Well, because my thing is like, why did he go back in his car and then see what we were doing and then come back out?
What is he hiding?
He's like, if we're competitors, wouldn't you have expected him to like come up to us and been like, this is my spot, like find another spot.
Metal detect somewhere else.
That was so strange because I was like in all places, Valpo, Indiana.
It was the weirdest, like the people that we not necessarily encountered but like witnessed were some of the strangest people I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, then we had to deal with We had to deal with so many people downtown.
Oh my god. Hockey or soccer or football. That group of boys that like
I think it was a baseball team. I think it was a baseball team.
Well,
but nobody
football or soccer or hockey, Tim. It was baseball.
It was baseball. I'm pretty sure it was baseball. It was a Friday. Sport. It was TGI Friday. The only thing I'm so upset we didn't capture on film is the man using a light pole to scratch his back.
That was so.
It's the only thing
so weird.
No one will ever see it except for all of us who all were just staring out from inside a store.
We all looked at each other like, did you guys just see that guy?
I'm like, Nick, did you film it?
Like, no, I didn't. I was framing.
Ian, did you film? No. We were all just amazed.
I think I looked at him doing his blue bear scratch and then
because he had walked in or he had walked up before and I think he saw what we were doing.
Well, he talked to Aaron for like a hot second and she kind of dismissed
him. Oh yeah, people were trying to like hit on Aaron, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I saw.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It was weird. It was while we were out there too. So it's like, we were framing a shot and the guy literally went up and stood next to Aaron in the shot to be like, I want to be in this.
It's like, no, leave.
I don't know why I didn't see that. Maybe I
where were you, Nick?
I might have been busy. That's the thing about like looking at the frame. Like you're so, it's funny. Like so many times, that's why like in a couple shots, like we messed up and you see like the light in some of the takes. It's because like I'm so focused on the actors themselves, making sure they're in their spots in the frame that I'm not paying attention to the background or like in the corners or whatever. It's weird because you'd think I'd be the first one to see it, but like that's why you miss it because. First of all, it's on a tiny little LCD monitor that's hooked up to the camera, that's connected to the camera. So like I'm only focusing on what I think's the most important thing. So I miss all this other stuff. So, and plus before we actually start recording, I'm just framing up. So I'm not thinking, oh, this guy can't be in there. Cause I don't even know what he's doing. But for all I know, they're out of focus or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's just funny how like I miss those things.
Well, even with like missing stuff is like we had a monitor for me to look at, But there's so many instances where it's like a one take and we're walking. It's like, I don't want to be right behind you because Raphael needs to be behind you for sound, or exactly. Sophia needs to be behind you. So it's like three of us, just like, especially in the apartment on the last day, it's like,
yeah,
there's too many bodies moving, especially yeah. with the blocking, where it's like, on future projects, I want to invest in like a monitor, like a wireless monitor that can be hooked up in another room or like somewhere where we're like hiding.
And that way we can hold like an iPad even, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth it.
But big enough for like me to see, the script supervisor to see, for Alex to see. So all three of us are watching it and being like, okay, like if we see something, we could just be like, hey, reset. There's a light. Yeah.
If you see something, say something.
If you see it.
If you see my head in the shot, let me know.
Hey, we got some golden memes from that.
You're welcome.
That's funny.
Poofy hair.
But yeah, then we left Valpo. We went to lunch and we went inside the store we were actually shooting. Like, we were shooting, I don't know how old it is, but there's a store in downtown Valpo where it's like, we just wanted to use it because it was abandoned, and we used it in the script as a business, or somebody's business, like gone, like they retired. And it was Chris who let us in and basically let us use it as like a base camp for that day and the next day, which was amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like the chillest dude. I remember reaching out to him, and I'm like, hey, we're doing a film, like a short film, and it's not going to be a lot of us. It's like a small crew at max 15 when we thought it was going to be 15. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. Just like his emails are like so short and concise. And I was like, what time is good for you? And he's like, I'm at my restaurant two doors down. So whenever you need me to unlock stuff, I'm there. And I'm like, you have caused me like so much relaxation. Like, I was stressed for like everybody else, cause everyone's like, oh, I can't do this day or this time or whatever. But he's like, dude, whatever you need, I got you. And I was like, thank you.
Well, then the next day too, cause we were filming right around the corner from there, but we had all our gear outside and we're just like, we didn't really feel, I don't know if it was like, we didn't feel comfortable leaving our gear out, or it was just like, you know, just leaving it out feels weird. So I think we had texted or called him, or just like, would it be possible if we just set our gear in there and use it as base camp? And he was like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even his like coworkers or his employees or whoever else, they were very nice. Everybody was nice there.
We even asked, we're like, cause we had our food in there. We're like, oh, like, where should we throw this away? And he's just like, I think he was like, oh, we like, we'll take care of it. Or like, mm-hmm. just get it all piled up. We'll take care of it. And I was like, oh my God. Like, no, let us sure? do it. Let us do that.
Yeah, because I think that second day or our last day or whatever, or second to last day.
It was the second. The second day.
Yeah. I think the scene took us like down the street a little bit, and there wasn't really anybody else by like where our stuff was, so maybe that's why.
I think that's because we shot on that corner where the table was, and then we had to go not even down the street. We literally just had to turn the corner, but like further down that block.
Yeah.
But out of view of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically had nobody that could like stay back and watch it. So
yeah.
I think we all just felt safer with the gear inside the store.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think this was our second speed bump of the whole shoot, if you guys want to correct me if I'm wrong, but the boutique store,
I think, yeah, for sure,
was our second major speed bump.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember showing up at the location right after I picked up food with Ralph for my sister,
one of them. Yeah,
well, I forgot who it was, it might have been Raphael, and I parked the car, I start to get the stuff, and I'm like, oh guys, I'm here, and all of a sudden Tim's like, your face was just like, you were like, we need to hurry now because we only have this much time and we need to go. And I was like, oh guys, I'm here with Chipotle for the 50th time. And, you know, I was like, here we are. And you're like, we gotta go. I'm like, what happened? Everyone was quiet. I'm like, what the fuck's going on, guys?
Well, because here's the thing. And I kind of, in the back of my mind, because we discussed this in our meetings prior to showing up to Valpo. It always stuck in the back of my mind. As soon as Alex said we nailed the boutique store and that they would let us in for a couple hours, it always just stuck in the back of my mind that their couple hours literally means two. So I'm like, I'm factoring that in because I know that's what they're going to do when we get there. And we show up and we're on our lunch, which should have been an hour, like an hour of 30, 40 minutes to like an hour, depending on how well we're feeling. Like if we can finish in 40 and we're good, like we'll go. But we show up, we're talking to them. And like, I'm super grateful they let us in and like, obviously let us use the store. But when they're like, oh, how long do you think you'll be here? And Alex and I are like, oh, well, we're playing, like, this is the rest of the day. We think we'll be in here till like five. And I saw their faces like drop, or like, I don't even know how to describe it, but they looked not happy.
Apprehensive.
Yeah. Of. And I was just like, look, we wrapped early yesterday, but like, and we'll, you know, be very productive and get everything done quickly so you guys aren't here that long. But like, we don't want to be rushed is the thing.
Right.
And they, even I think they were like, well, we don't want to be here till five. And I'm like, I get it. But, you know. Yeah. So it's like that. It always just stuck in the back of my mind. As soon as you said they were going to let us in for a couple hours, I'm like, I know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we ended up doing a working lunch that day because I was like, I think we had 18 shots planned for that scene.
And I remember just sitting with you or standing or whatever, but we were just kind of huddled around that shot or that shot list. And you just kind of went down the line and just kind of crossed everything off, and you got it down to like six shots.
I was like, well, because here's what I did. I was like, okay, we can cut that shot. These two can be combined. These three can be combined. I was like, if we can block it and kind of maneuver it, we can just combine a lot of these shots. And I was talking to Ian about that. We both agreed that it worked in our favor because if that scene had 18 shots, no other scene in the film had that many shots.
Yeah.
Everything else was very like, I think we almost filmed it like pseudo documentary style, kind of, because it's kind of like we're witness, not kind of like a documentary, but like it's very fluid, very like not a lot of cuts. And Ian was like, it would have been weird if this scene had so many shot coverages when like our emotional climax of the film, I think, has five shots.
So, I mean, yeah, it worked out for our better interest, but still it was kind of stressful.
Yeah, it was very stressful.
It would have been better to make that decision in the cut, not on location. You know what I mean? To be able to be like, we can condense these shots to this, that, and the other. But like you said, though, it did work out. And I think it forced us to make sure that we got everything in those less amount of shots that we needed to, because I do think it looks better. I think it would have looked a little too choppy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it worked out. Plus that space is not that big, so there's really no reason to keep cutting around too much. Like, you just got to get everyone, you got to get the dialogue coverage and stuff, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and we got it all. Even Arsenio was telling me, he was like listening back while editing it, and he's like you sound mad directing. I was like, I wasn't mad, but I was just like trying to get everything done.
Yeah,
I think because it was the moment, I think I yelled, I didn't yell at you and Ian, but you guys were talking and I just go quiet on set. But I was like jokingly like staring at you.
That's funny.
But he said, he was like, you sound so mad.
I was stressed.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, after that, I think we all took like a little break outside the store before we shot scene five.
Well, yeah, we had to, because remember being so hot upstairs?
It was hot. There was that, someone took a picture of me, I think Aaron and Kelly, I think my sister might have been up there too, just like fully on our backs, just taking a quick break. It's just like dying of heat.
Here's the thing. I was getting, I love Kelly. I was getting so annoyed with her because she was like on the verge of passing out. And I'm like, Kelly, please go get water. And she's like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm just going to push through it. She literally sounded fucking drunk. I'm like, Kelly, please fucking go get water. I'm not having you pass out on set. And she's like,
I'm part of my character. It's
and fine. even Aaron was like, Kelly, like, please go get water.
So funny.
But yeah, then
but I remember like going outside. Everyone was just like,
it felt so good outside.
Yeah.
It literally was like a...
Sorry, guys.
Nick, your child. Please control your child.
Sorry. Like a for those, little
for everyone, for everyone that doesn't know, Nick just got a new kitten.
Yeah, and I had to bring her up with me. And she just woke up. So
oh, she was asleep?
Yeah, she was asleep this whole time.
What is she sleep like? Is she just sleeping on your desk?
Yeah, I have her, like, I have a tiny little blanket that, like, I kind of folded up and she was just resting on that. But well, now
kittens got to sleep a lot.
Yeah.
They sleep literally like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, she eats shits and sleeps. That's it. So it's fine.
And she's plotting your murder.
Exactly. I'm trying to see if maybe if I leave her alone, she'll calm down. But if it gets really annoying, I might have to take her back downstairs.
She sounds like the things from Harry Potter. The little plants that they pull out of the soil.
That's funny. But yeah, no, I just like, yeah, we were definitely relieved to be outside.
Because when you walked outside of the boutique store, it literally felt like a 20 degree difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it was so like, yeah, it was so hot. I remember because I think Kelly and I think you, Alex, or somebody went on a coffee run for all of us.
Yeah, we went. Well, because like we were kind of all dying. And also it was like that 3 p.m. kind of crash hour.
Yeah.
So Kelly's like, I need coffee. Do you want coffee? And I was like, yes, I do need coffee. I ended up getting a smoothie, but does the same thing. But I just remember I was like, I need something else because I think the Chipotle was hitting and I was like, I'm in a brain fog right now.
Yeah, that was the last day we did Chipotle. It was about the whole weekend was about like a 4 out of 10 with that Chipotle.
I'm coming from the expert.
Coming from the expert, it was subpar Chipotle. The thing I was kind of pissed about after we like ordered, because I remember ordering it every day. I'm like, okay, we'll get the highest level catering. It should be enough food for all of us, right? I look at the bowls they gave us the rice in. I'm like, Nick could fucking eat this by himself. It literally was like 2 servings of rice, probably. Yeah. So it's like barely, and like some of the, like the first day they gave us just a small plate of steak. Like every other, like the sofritas and the chicken had a bigger bowl, and then the steak came in like the tiniest bowl ever. I'm like, this is kind of a ripoff. I feel like if we would have, you know, said we had more people, we could have gotten more food, but
yeah.
Yeah.
We would have had to pay more too. So
it did the job.
Yeah.
But I also understand what you're saying because if they're going to say it's for everyone, then yeah.
If you're going to say it's for 10 people, give enough rice for 10 people.
Right. Right.
Like anybody who would have seen it. Yeah, and Chipotle, if you've seen like their rice serving, depending on who you get, because some people do skimp you, but like it literally just looked like a single or 2 servings of rice.
Yeah.
And not like, I mean, like, because like you and me, Nick, we eat a lot, but it's like, I'm talking like that's a normal serving.
I agree.
What was I gonna say? I forgot where I was going with this whole rant.
It worked out too that not everyone wanted the same thing, so like some people were vegan, some people didn't want necessarily chicken, some people didn't want, you know, the cheese or whatever, so.
I think it did help that it came with plenty of chips and tortillas, so you could get full. Yeah. But also I remember what I was gonna say, we had plenty of snacks on set too, so yes. Throughout the day people could eat and get full, and we had plenty of water and Gatorades and the little canned coffees, which did the job.
So good.
It's more expensive.
Yeah,
but man, it did the job.
And then yeah, then all we did the rest of that day on the second day was we filmed scene 5. We were gonna go film the last shot of a scene earlier, and we ultimately moved it to the next day because we were gonna film it in the alley and realize it's too loud because they have the restaurant's fan going.
Well, and the time of day didn't match up.
Yeah. So we ultimately said, let's just wrap for the day and we'll grab this tomorrow, because the third day we were just in one spot the whole day. We were inside an apartment, which was super nice that we didn't have to move anything. We could and be inside.
Yeah.
Very nice apartment too.
Very nice apartment.
I still don't know.
Explain how we swung that, Alex.
I don't know.
Because this location, like with Olivia casting the last role, this was the hardest location to lock down.
Yeah, we were trying to look between like
Airbnbs.
Like, yeah, Airbnbs, my aunt's house, but she was away. So everything was kind of like we're running out of options. And then my mom, she's like, oh, there's a new like condominium set up just like down the street from my house. Call them because I know they have a showroom. Ask them if you can use the showroom.
I think I had mentioned to you, I'm like, are there apartments around there that may have a showroom that we can maybe use?
And I was like, why, yes. To our luck. And then Carol, the nicest, sweetest human being I've ever encountered. She was like so accommodating. She was so nice. She was so invested in our film. She was like, oh, so what kind of film is it? Like, how many are going to be there? And she's like, you can use whatever you want. The stove has gas. You know, use the bathroom, use the kitchen, whatever. So, yeah, she was great. Everything went great.
I remember because you, me, and Ian asked if we could go see it after the first day of shooting, just because we hadn't seen what the apartment looked like. We wanted to get a good lay of it. Mm-hmm. And we did not realize what we were walking into as mm-hmm. far as how nice it was.
I felt so underdressed in that apartment. Because I was like covered in sweat and sunscreen, and we just finished filming all
the
day.
Sunscreen. I forgot about that.
I just remembered Ian's sunscreen. I gave him so much, and he just went up to the building and marked it. I want to go to Valpo just to see if it's still there. It's like permanently stained the building.
That's funny.
I just felt way too poor walking in there. It was the fireplace changed colors.
It's so nice. I think the benefit too was it had two bedrooms, so one of the rooms could be used for gear. The other room could be used for the actresses to do their hair and makeup and wardrobe changes. Mm-hmm. There was a fridge we could use for our stuff. There's a garage that we set up our craft services in and our lunch. Yeah. Well, we did a different lunch that day. We all got like our own individual meals. But we were able to use the garage as sort of like another like area, which was super nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then the third day we just shot in there. That was Olivia's first day because we only needed her for that one day.
First and last day.
First and last day. The day we almost did actually kill the fish.
Okay, you say we as in all
a collective
of us,
group.
But
no, it was Aaron's fault.
I was like, you're never gonna lose this down.
The funniest thing, I remember going up to Aaron that morning and I was like, you ready to fucking kill a fish? And she comes up to me and she's like, fuck yeah, like let's fucking kill it. And then we're shooting the scene where in the film she is supposed to kill she accidentally kills the fish. Spoiler alert. but then a little pepper flake actually came out of the little seasoning. More than one. And I think in real time, only me and Aaron see it. You see Aaron's reaction right away. And I want you to tell the story, Nick, because you didn't see what happened.
No, I didn't see what happened right away because my framing was supposed to not show it. So when I was looking at the camera, the only thing I saw was Aaron's face because she was pretending to like be on the phone. And then she like stuttered her words and her eyeballs just went like this. And then I kind of looked away. Like I looked off like camera just to see what she saw. Cause I couldn't tell. And then that's when I looked at you, Tim. And all I saw was Tim. It looked like a cartoon, like that's Tim's face. Just like that. And I'm like, and then did someone yell? I don't remember if you yelled.
I never yelled cut,
or if somebody else said something, I can't remember. Someone said something. And then that's when I heard somebody say she is killing the fish. And but then everyone was like, he's swimming to the pepper plate. It was so funny.
My favorite thing is and Ian's reaction in that moment is to grab his camera and just turn around and start filming but not help.
Yeah. That was fun. That was funny.
And then I just remember everyone, it was like really silent for like 10-15 seconds, and then all of a sudden everyone started freaking out, like trying to corral the fish back into like the little tube, and then dumping and cleaning
the tank
and then refilling it again, making sure there's no pepper flakes.
I remember we were joking on the way to set. We're like, watch how this fish actually dies. We show up like 20 minutes later to PetSmart. We're like, we need another one.
Sorry.
The fish is alive and well. Don't come after us, PETA.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. And then we had thank God you guys got extra water too, because we had to switch the water out.
Yeah.
Change it. But yeah, that worked out. That was just so funny.
That was like the most stressful 40 minutes probably of the whole shoot.
I saw that fish's life flash before my eyes.
The funniest thing was, like, I saw the fish and I'm like, he hasn't seen it yet. And then the moment he sees it, he like went in attack mode. I'm just like, no.
Like, I do want to die.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Kill me, please.
That's funny. Well, he's here. He's good. I can tell you that.
He's all good. I don't think anything really else happened that day. I think we just started getting very pressed for time, because it was a similar thing with the boutique store, except I think Carol was going out of town, I believe.
Something.
And she had to leave by a certain time, so we wanted to make sure she could, you know, stop by, check out the place, and lock up before we left, because we did not have the budget if we broke something in there.
I made sure everything was
Everything was back in their spot, not broken.
I think what took time was trying to make it look dark, trying to make it look like nighttime.
Yeah.
So while Ralph and I were trying to do that, you were like kind of rehearsing with everyone, which was a fun thing to be there and see.
Yeah.
And then so that was where the time constraint kind of came in, because then after that, we had to do a couple takes of the actual,
the final scene
of this. Yeah. So, but that was a little rough, getting all those bags to try to make it look like nighttime.
Well, 'cause then we had to do the first scene. We shot the last scene and the first scene on the last day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was, it works out, but you know, we put the assembly cut together. And I told both of you, I'm like, the assembly cut is super rough and the pacing is too fast. So
yeah,
I was like, we definitely need to go and find some stuff to film to kind of fill in the gaps.
And that's when we went to Naperville.
But yeah. I think overall, it was probably one of, if not the best set I probably was working on.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, as far as, you know, we did have the few speed bumps, but you know, everything went, we got everything we needed. We were happy with all the footage we shot.
We got, the thing that made me the happiest is like everyone got along really well.
Yes. I think the whole camaraderie of the whole cast and crew was, because you know, on some sets, especially at Columbia, there's like, you know, the certain people that are like just there for a grade, or like, especially in D1, it's like some people don't really care about it versus other people.
Yeah. But like everyone genuinely, like, they wanted to be there, and so everyone had a great time. I mean, we're all kind of in the same boat, so everyone kind of, like, if you didn't laugh, you kind of wanted to cry. So,
well, I think I think I told you this, Nick, or you, Alex, but like when I was talking to Raf, the day we were all on Monday when both he and I left, it was like, or I think you told me that he got like, Nick, I think you told me that he was like, oh, I'm like reinvigorated to start writing more after being on set.
Yeah, he was very motivated and inspired by the idea of just working on something. Because when you go to, like, that's the thing that sucks about, I think, any kind of art school is like, you go to your school and it's fun, and then when you go in the real world, it's not as easy as it might seem to start working or get a job. It doesn't happen to like everyone, you know? So for him, and I know for me, I mean, not just for Ralph, but for myself as well, to be able to work on a set outside of school, and to this fucking cat, dude, I'm gonna she's like really tearing my hand up.
Give her a toy.
I know I should, but she doesn't play with them. So anyway,
play with them.
So he I think just to be on a set that was like, you know, I guess in a lot of ways, I'm sure not just for Alex, but for all of us was like a passion project. I mean, we did it with our own time, our own money, and we all enjoyed it. And I think for him, and like I said, myself, it really was motivating to just be like, okay, we can't wait for people to give us a chance. So let's just make our own chance. And that's exactly what we did. And I think we should keep doing. So that's the biggest takeaway from this. Cause like what you guys were saying just now too, about like the set experience, all things considered, I'm worried it went so well that our future experiences are going to be like, oh, fuck, this is hard, man. Like,
or it's like not even
supposed to happen.
Not even that hard. I was literally just thinking about it. Cause like, it is like, I've talked to both of you about it. And it's like, we can't wait for anybody. Like we have to make our own, mm-hmm. our own like projects. And, you know, hopefully people will see it and realize like what we have is special. And that's what like Alex and I already have our next script ready to go, at least the first draft, and we're going to continue to mold it. And we were talking last night, we know what the proof of concept will be for it, so we can hopefully get funding for the feature.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like we have to do it on our own. But I was thinking, I was like, you know, every set after this is like, I mean, I think that's the special thing, is like it was such an intimate set with all of us. It's like such a good moment between all of us. Like, yes, there probably won't be a set like it again. Like, we're gonna get bigger projects and more people, but if we can try to keep that same mentality, because I want to keep working with everybody that was on our set, like cast and crew. Like, I want to bring all of them on future projects, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a really good first experience. And like I said, it was motivating. So that if this film does nothing except that, I think it's a win for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and it still has potential to do more. I mean, we haven't even started with festivals yet. So who
no.
knows what could happen with that.
As of right now, I'll update everybody. What I've gotten from Braden is this was, I think, a few days ago too, or even last week, he was halfway through dialogue editing the film.
Okay. Okay.
Sushi is right now in the sound design phase. We've picture locked it like a few weeks ago even. So everything in the film that's there is going to be there. It's as of right now just needing sound design. Nadia's score is going to be added in, and then it'll be sent back to you, Nick, to color correct, mm-hmm. and it'll be completely finished at that point.
Okay. I was going to ask you that actually too.
Yes.
Like so how it's going with sound.
Yeah, I'm not wanting to keep like texting Braden every day about it, but like I'm trying to get updates from him every now and again, just, you know, see where it's at in the process. And
mm-hmm.
I know he's doing a great job on it. But I think once that happens, I've already kind of been looking at some festivals to like scope out where we could probably send it to. But then I think the plan is we want to, and this is something we'll discuss, is having our like, kind of like our official wrap party, like mm-hmm. a screening for the cast and crew and maybe some family friends and people we want to invite.
Yeah.
I definitely want to do that. I mean, we could talk about it off podcast, but did you tell Alex about,
like, I think I'd mentioned it.
Okay. Okay.
We could talk.
I might know somebody that might be able to host a little party for us.
Yeah.
So it could be kind of a fun thing.
I think it'd be fun to, you know, obviously cast and crew, but we can invite family and some friends if we want to.
Yeah.
You know, come give us some praise mm-hmm. to boost our ego a little bit.
Exactly.
Also, like, to show them, it's like, you know, that thing that we were talking about, this is actually that thing.
Yeah. We're not just bullshitting you. Yes. We didn't just take your money for no reason.
That's the other thing. Everybody that donated to the Indiegogo, the perks are on the way. I've gotten a few posters sent to me as far as like designs. Not all of them yet. We're waiting on those before we send them out to our Indiegogo backers. We're going to do something fun with the poster for all of the backers. And then Ian also mentioned that he is working on the video, but I don't know how far along it is or how much he's done, but Ian recorded about 4 hours each day of footage and took about 2,000 photos. So he was going to sort through the photos and the video and try to find the best of the best, and then we'll send that out. And the photos will probably just go out in like a link for all the backers. And then we're gonna work on the DVD and, you know, get all the other perks out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, right, what we've been saying even since the beginning, as far as the perks, is we want to focus on getting the film finished first before sending perks out, because, you know, if something happened and the film never came to be.
Yeah.
What's the point of the perks?
What's the point of the perks?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think most people understand that. And we try to send out email updates when necessary. Right now, because we're in post-production, there's not like
not weekly a lot updates. Happening.
There's not a lot happening. It's just the grind of it all. So when something big happens, whenever the next big step is going on, we'll definitely let all the backers know and anybody who contributed. And then there's the Instagram page too, which isn't, again, similar situation. Not a lot going on right now because there isn't anything big happening, but once things kick in, and plus once we're allowed to sort of promote a little bit more, which will probably happen a little bit at the end of festival circuits, that's when things will kind of kick off a little bit more and more.
That was the other thing I was going to say, is like, I want to have more on the Instagram page as far as maybe even posting stills from the film, but it's also like, if we're going to put it in festivals, like, what can we post and what can we post? That's kind of like the issue we're running into. So we don't want Indiegogo backers. We don't want everybody who's waiting for the film to think like, oh, the film's nothing now. It's just like, we're kind of walking on eggshells right now to see what we can and can't do. Because obviously, like, if we had the choice, we'd be promoting this like crazy. Also, we don't have a lot to promote as far as like I said, the posters, we're waiting on designs. I have a couple, but I want to wait till we get a few more before sharing it with the Indiegogo backers. And like, we haven't even seen the behind the scenes. We've seen the photos, we haven't seen a lot, we haven't seen the video completely edited together.
Right.
No, I think the most we've seen was like back in the hotel room, like really late at night, and then Ian showing us like a couple of like of the videos, but nothing
put together. So that's where we're at right now with Sushi. It's still a work in progress, but we're almost there.
Yeah.
Nearly there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it's not shown by the end of this year, it'll definitely be 2022, because I don't know when the festival circuits will, you know, happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're still keeping busy. We have a lot of projects and ideas we want to continue to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to like, you know, say what they are, but I know Nick, you and Raphael have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on. Alex and I have like 10 ideas that we've written down that we're working on. As far as like, we have one completed draft, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And you've read it, Nick, and Arsenio's read it. We've sent it to other people to read. We got a lot of feedback from it so far. So we're going to work on continuing to get new drafts of it. So hopefully that'll be, if that's not our next project, I think yours and Raphael's project might be the thing we want to film next.
Yeah. Once we finish the script, I'll send it over to you guys just to look at it. And then in the meantime, what we want to do is start looking at locations like immediately, because I want to do this script in a way where obviously it's doable, but before I even think about budget, I want to make sure that I know I can do the things I want to do. And if I can't, then what else, how can I like manipulate or rearrange it? Or like, because if we have to redo the script for a certain reason, because we can't do this one thing, then maybe we can do this other thing. So once that's, even if it's like the first draft of it, once that gets done, I want to start looking at locations and trying to see if we can even get like people involved right away. Even if we don't even have a date yet, because I want to feel it out. So it's a very doable one. It'll be a really cool one to do. I don't want to say too much yet either, but I was just talking to Raphael today before we got on this call, and we had some really cool ideas. So we're going to probably meet again via Zoom next week, and both of us are going to start kind of writing it together more and more. We already got like, I think the first, God, I think it's 10 or 15 pages, something like that.
Nice.
We're thinking this could be like a 30-minute short, maybe a little longer. Maybe it just depends on how it all goes. But could be really fun. I'm actually kind of excited. So
I'm excited to read it, because from what you've told me, I'm like very excited to see it. And I think you said you were going to take the helm directing and shooting. So I'm cool. We'll see. I'm cool with stepping back, producing, and just
yeah. We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to shoot it as well because it might be a little too much for me to do. To be honest with you,
Go full Neil Breen.
Just I'll put on tripods, and I'm going to be the actor. I'm casting myself, and I'm do producing it, and just. No, that's not true at all. I do want to direct it. Help Raphael with any sort of way I can help him write it. Of course, it's mostly his writing. I'll tell you one thing. He writes action very well. So I'm excited for you to read it in that sense, because whatever he thinks of, once he finally gets it in his mind, like this is how it's going to visually look, he does a really good job at kind of translating that onto the page, which is why I think he's great. I think he's really good at writing action stuff like that. So, especially in the way that I want to make this. So,
don't look at me.
Exactly. I'm excited. There's some cool stuff coming from our end and with what you and Alex are working on as far as your stories and stuff. And then however we can all help each other out is, really exciting.
I know. Cause I know the script Alex and I wrote is very ambitious, and it was the exact phrasing was of the person we talked to about it last night, but I think they said it's a very risk-taking script versus Sushi. I'm excited to read Raphael's like wording, because what Arsenio told us, because he's read our script, is he said our script felt like a novel, like a book. With how like, and I mean you've read it, Nick, it's like how like detailed our scenes are, and like how, I mean, we have like a whole sequence of just like six or seven pages with no dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see where I could see that. I mean, I could see what he's saying. It definitely has more descriptions and actions than Sushi did, which is good, because Tim, you want to direct this, so for you to be a part of the writing process is very important. So it's good that you have that, and you know what you're doing, you know, like visually what you want to do with it. So it's
visual heavy, like visual heavy movie, and very like atmospheric is what we're going for. So I think with this project, if we do it, we want to do like a, I think we said like a 15 minute proof of concept, show it at festivals, and hopefully, because we want it to be a feature, and it's going to need a lot. We're going to need a lot of funding for it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, in the lighting alone.
Lighting alone, costumes.
Oh, I forgot the costumes.
Yeah, we're trying to up our game, everybody. So help us out.
I mean, we really upped it for sure.
That's the other thing I want to mention. I'm going to speak for all three of us. Like, I was blown away by the support from Sushi, like from all of our backers. Like first week we had $2,000, or like just over $2,000, and even when we were coming up with the budget, we're like, oh, we're not gonna make $3,500, like no one's gonna give us that much money.
Yeah
I didn't think we were gonna reach like
I even was like, oh, 7,000's a high number, I don't think we're gonna make it, and we made over our goal.
I was like, 7,000
in a month, in a month. Yeah, we literally made it before we went to set. I think like a few days before we went to set, we hit our official goal.
Yeah.
And then just kept getting more while we were on set.
Yeah. I mean, they really came in clutch, saved our asses a lot.
Like, I was literally like, I'm so grateful. And, you know, there's no word or feeling to describe like what we all probably felt with like how much support we got from it.
Yeah, it didn't feel real, because when we had a month out and then we finally did the Indiegogo, I was like, there's no freaking way we're going to get this money in a month. I'm like, there's just no way, but let's just try it. You know, who knows what could happen. And like you said, Tim, like the first week was like, I was like, oh, wow, that's really good. But I got nervous because first week it's like, okay, cool. You get a lot of people.
Let's see if the momentum can keep going.
Yeah. And then it didn't stop. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is going to work.
I literally would wake up and check my emails, and it'd be like 8 Indiegogo backers from overnight. And I'm like, oh, well, I remember one morning I woke up, I'm like, oh, it's probably like, I had like 2. And I was like, oh, okay, it's probably like a couple 25s or 50s, which is it's awesome. And then I woke up and it was like, someone gave us 250. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then I checked the next meal and it was like 500. I went, what?
I remember when Alex's dad donated for that. And I remember we're like, who gave us 500? And Alex was like, my dad. It's just like,
funny. You said you had walked out in the living room and your dad was just so nonchalantly just like chilling.
Yeah, I was like, I was getting ready for work. And then you guys Tim, you texted us saying like we got $500 and
I was like, we have an executive producer.
I was like, who is it? And you said, I think it's from your family, Alex, because it's like it has Diaz. And I was like, well, what's the first name? And you said Avi, and I'm like, that's my dad. And I run out of my room. He just sitting there on his laptop being so nonchalant.
He's sitting there with Nick's cat, just like
he was probably just waiting for you to come out like, yes, he's gonna come out any second now. He's like the best in the world. Yeah,
just waiting.
But he's a good one.
Well, even like not even just from our like Indiegogo backers, we had like Phil and Chip from My Celluloid Heart were promoting it constantly on their show. I met a guy, Leo, and he was promoting it on his Instagram. He changed his bio to have our Indiegogo link and was promoting it. He wanted to work on the set, but I think he said he was on another set that weekend, but he was like, I'm just trying to help out. Like he's super supportive of just like filmmakers. And he told me about the Indiana Filmmaker Network on Facebook. That's where a couple of actresses messaged me to see if they could audition, which they both messaged me at like 11 p.m. It was, I was like, why now? Like, I'm sleeping.
Go to sleep.
That's funny.
That's cool though.
But it was like this whole experience, like, and I'm going to speak for all three of us, and I want to know your guys' thoughts too. But like, as far as producing, it made me more confident to be like, okay, now I want to like produce other people's stuff and like help them out. And it kind of made me see my goal, because I do want to open a production company at some point. And it's like, okay, now that I've done this, like if I keep doing it, you know, we're just going to get better at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well, I talked to you guys about this a bunch, but like, I think producing this, I mean, I still want to do like development and all that stuff, but like being a producer on this kind of changed my trajectory of like what I see like as an end goal in like the production company and just doing our own thing and just making films as we want them. And like it changed my whole entire like view on what I want as a career, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me, like it did the same thing. I realized like what, and I think I talked to Tim about this, because like I realized what I really liked about filmmaking in a sense, because with the video work that I've done in the past, I'm really grateful for it, but there was something empty in all of that work that I did. It just wasn't fulfilling. I tried really hard to figure out like, why do I feel, cause like I'd go and do jobs and I'm like, why do I not feel like happy about this? And I hated even admitting it to myself, because I really want to love doing it. And I just, and it really affects like my self-confidence in my work. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've like said to people like, yeah, I don't know, my work's this, that, and the other, like, you know, I don't find it that great. But then people are like, what are you talking about, Nick? Like, you went to school, you know what you're doing. And it's just the self-confidence I had was very low. And then doing this made me realize like, oh, that's because I like telling stories. I don't care about products. I don't care about, you know, I mean, I do wedding videos, but I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just the money that, and it's great. And again, I'm very grateful for it, but it's not the end game for me. The end game for me is to do film. And if film doesn't make me a lot of money, there's other passions I have to be the money maker, but I still always want to do these projects. Like, whether it's small scale passion projects, if I never get paid for filmmaking, that's fine. I'd rather just still do it as much as I can, working on other friends' projects, trying to get my own made through my money. But like, that's what I love. That's why I like being on set with all my gear. Like I was saying earlier, like it just made, I was so happy to actually use all of that stuff and like really feel like on like being on that set, feel that feeling and like make something and being able to see like my footage at a film festival. Like, are you kidding? That's so cool. Like, yeah. That's fucking awesome. Out of my camera that I spent my money and I worked for, like, there, it's a really cool thing. And then like the one thing I can't even believe yet, because I haven't seen it, is like my production company name on there. Dude, forget about
it's,
it.
Like, are you kidding? It's beautiful. Like, I mean, literally like the opening sequence we have, like, of just like the credits and like your company name, it's like, it literally stands apart from like I was saying, I was like, our intro without it feels like a student film. Now it's like,
I can't wait. Thing. I can't wait.
I mean, like, I was, when Ryan sent us the teaser poster design, like mock-up designs, I was like, I cannot wait to have a poster with all of our names on it. Even if we get into festivals, have like little festival watermarks on it. Dude. Like, it's going to be so nice.
The thing is, like, I've never had one of my scripts produced. So having them, like, say the words that I wrote, you know, some of them I didn't even change since I wrote it, like, 4 or 6 years ago or whatever.
Oh, you're going to hate the cut we have, Alex. It's a lot of trees and a lot of birds. Aaron's not in the film anymore.
Yeah.
No one's in the film. It's just trees.
The fish isn't in the film anymore.
You know that guy scratching his back? Yeah.
The whole thing is him.
Yeah.
It's like a super extreme close-up of his back. Like,
oh my God.
Imagine.
But yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's... I keep telling Tim, I don't think it really like hit me yet that like this is the script. Like, this is my script that like I wrote. And like, it's been filmed and all that stuff. I don't, like, I don't think until I see like the final product, then I think it'll really hit me.
Yeah. Once, I think, like, with me too.
Once the sound design's in there, once Nadia's score is in there, which Nadia sent me the score and it's great. She scored the whole film for us to just pick and choose from, of like what we want and what we don't. I kind of gave Brayden some ideas of what we could use with the music, because not the whole film doesn't need music, but like certain scenes and like have it as diegetic would be great. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I told you on set, I was like, what's the moment I'm gonna see you cry from seeing your stuff come to life, Alex?
I think it's when, probably, you know, the rap party. Look for tears
at the I'm excited for the rap party.
Yeah,
because we had a little one at the hotel, but it's like, and we had a little, like, a nice,
it was like a celebration,
a nice little dinner after. I felt like a big fucking Hollywood spender at the restaurant. Give me the check.
I asked him, I'm a producer. I asked him, how much is it? He goes, don't worry about it. Say, hey, man.
Like, don't worry about it.
You've been waiting all your life to say that, haven't you?
See, here's the thing, Nick. You say you don't care if you get paid. I want us to all get paid. I want to get to the day where it's like, give me everything on the menu. Check is like couple grand. Like, I got
even the most expensive thing on the menu. I will take 3.
I will take 10. Yeah, that shit felt so good. I was just like, hand me the check.
That's funny, man. No, I mean, I definitely listen. If I can get paid, I want to get paid.
That's the goal. I want to get paid. Alex wants to get paid. We want to pay our cast and crew this time. I thought that was the cat. Just flings the cat behind you.
Oh my God. Yeah, you had that same look that when Sushi almost died. Oh my God.
He disliked me.
But yeah.
That's funny.
We'll end it here. Just letting everybody know we have a lot more projects in the work.
And we haven't forgot about the backers.
We haven't forgotten about you all. Haven't forgotten about all the backers. Yeah. All of your names are in the credits, and it's beautiful. So
it's something.
Oh, that's the other thing, because I don't think you've seen the end, Nick, either. Your company logo is also in the closing credits too, like at the very end of the credits.
Do you guys have the file? Do I have it and I don't even know? Did you
I think
guys
you do?
I'll double check, because if I don't, I'll text you later to send it to me. But I'll check my.
You should have it.
Maybe I only saw the original. I don't think, or like the original cut or whatever.
The assembly one something. That I had.
Maybe, because I don't think I've seen that yet for some reason. So I'll check my emails. But if I don't, I'll text you, because I want to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
If you don't, I'll share it with you, because you should have it.
Maybe I do. I'll check after this.
Yeah. But we have a lot more projects in the works. So the podcast will still remain on hiatus. We might do, you know, a couple more episodes like this where all three of us can jump on and either do updates, probably not on Sushi, but like if we have more stuff in the works, or even with your project with Raphael, Nick, we can all jump on and talk about something.
Absolutely.
I know I'm going to be on a couple podcasts soon. I'm going to be on My Celluloid Heart and From the Depths, which will be a lot of fun. I know you and I, Nick, are still trying to get on Movie Chatter. We'll figure that out.
Yeah. Well, when the movie's done too, and maybe they could see it, because I would love for them to see it and then we can talk about it.
I would love for them to come to the screening. It's close enough if we have it in Chicago.
We can definitely invite them. Yeah. 100%. Once we figure out like the date and everything, we'll talk to them. Yeah. And we'll figure out like, you know, how many people are coming, and I can talk to the people that I know about it too. But yeah, 100%.
We'll figure it all out. But
yeah.
Yeah, we have plenty of stuff in the works right now, and hopefully soon, because we're going to send everything out to the backers once, you know, I get stuff. I don't have the posters yet, the behind the scenes video. I have the photos, but not like the file we're going to send out, because we want to send the best photos, not 1600 photos to everybody. So
I'll send them. Who cares?
Send them.
Who cares? Blurry ones. You guys go through it.
There's a lot of funny ones. I think it also has a lot of the photos that we took of like the locations, just to, you know, show that we didn't damage it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this whole process was so amazing. This last 3-4 months? I mean, still going, honestly. Like Alex and I were writing our next script, and then I would jump on the phone with Arsenio for like 2 hours to discuss the editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a long process. Not a lot of sleep, so
that's all right.
Sleep who?
Well, then, then with the footage, Nick and I, we went to Naperville and shot some B-roll to give the film some breathing room. And it, like, once you see the cut, you'll probably agree with me. And because Alex has seen it a few times, so
okay,
I think we even showed Aaron. I don't think we showed Olivia, but we showed Aaron and our friend Dapper.
Yes,
to see what they thought. So.
Cool. Very nice.
So yes. So we will, I don't know when the show will be back. Never, probably.
Tim, you're still, this is your show. Why are you shitting on your own show?
Because it's my show. Fuck it.
Like, nah, fuck the show. But anyway, thanks guys.
Thanks guys for listening. There have been a lot of people that have missed the show, so I appreciate people wanting the show back. It means a lot.
That's good. That's good.
Again, it'll still be on hiatus because I'd rather be focusing on all of our projects right now. Again, with like producing your scripts as well. Like, I know Arsenio's got some scripts. Ian has some scripts. I think that's the great thing about our crew too, is like there's a lot of people in our group that are also wanting to direct, like you, me, Ian, Arsenio. I'm not sure about Raphael if he wants to, or if he just wants to stick to writing.
He might. Yeah. I mean, he might. And he definitely could, because anything he wants to write that he feels connected to, I mean,
he probably would be the best person to tell it.
Exactly. So,
but yes, it was an amazing experience. I think I've told you, Alex, I'm so grateful you asked me to direct it. So it's like, feel very humble about it.
I mean, I really couldn't ask for like a better group of friends to do it with.
It was a great experience.
Yeah. Thank you guys for asking me to be a part of it.
Fuck you, Nick.
All right, well. Get out of here, Nick.
No, I was actually, because I wanted you on the project, Nick, but like I was like, I don't want you on as a because you had worked on my D2 location, but you were just like a PA.
It was a PA, yeah.
And I was like, I want you on as a more important role than just helping out. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate it because it gave me more confidence, and it gave me more experience in like just the video and camera work, you know, because I've actually taken some of that experience with me for the weddings and stuff that I film, and having that has helped with the film. So it was great. It was awesome. I'm really glad I was able to do it.
Yeah, it was great experience overall. And I'm very excited to see the final product of Sushi. I'm very excited for everyone to see the final product. Hopefully once the festival circuit is complete, we can probably upload it maybe to YouTube or Vimeo somehow so everybody can see it. But
absolutely.
I'm
put on my website too, on the Dark Sales website.
On Dark Sales website, yes.
I'll go there too.
Because it is technically the first film through your company.
First short film.
Mm-hmm. First short film through your company.
Yeah.
Big steps.
Maybe I can write it off as like a loss and get some money from the government. Yeah.
It's gonna be fraud, Nick.
Hey, you know what?
You're gonna tank your company after one film.
that's one gonna, wonder.
That's gonna be your documentary.
Oh yeah, I want to do a documentary. I don't want to say I'm what yet.
Yeah, no, not yet. So, all right, cool, man.
But thanks for coming on. This was a lot of fun. We'll definitely come back to do another episode at some point if we have more things and more further in development. So we will keep.
You should. Sorry, I mean, I was gonna say, I just had an idea. You should see if maybe you should try to talk to some of the other crew members on your show. So, like, bring maybe the cast together. Maybe bring like, you know, Raphael on one day. Like, yeah, it'd be kind of fun to get like everyone's perspective. I would like.
Well, I kind of would like to do that. Like, if like you, me, Alex, and maybe like Olivia, Aaron, Kelly all come on and do like commentary over the film sort of thing.
Could do that. Yeah, that could be added. I mean, I don't want to say for sure, but it could even be added to like the DVD or something.
Well, that's what I kind of want to do at some point. Yeah. Or like I can come up, you know, to your like one of your guys' places because you all are in Chicago. And if Kelly's in Chicago, we could all just like record it in studio. So we're watching it on the screen. And that way, when we just sync it up, you know, we'll figure it out. But yeah, I would love to do a commentary with either all three of us, all six of us, even like us do one and they do one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be really fun, actually. Yeah. That'd be cool.
We got ideas for days.
For days. So many days.
For days. Just days, not weeks. Maybe a day.
One singular.
Cool. Cool.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Do you want to promote your website or, you know, your stuff, Nick, for Dark Sail?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have Dark Sail. I make weddings, promotional videos, anybody that needs any video work. Obviously, we're going to get into short films as well. I do a little bit of photography, and that's pretty much it right now as far as like my production stuff. And then, yeah, that's it. Dark Sails, as in like sailboat, darksailsproductions.com.
Not like a salesman?
No, not sales.
Well, cool. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I mean, you're listening to this now, so you know where to find it. But follow us on Instagram. Follow Sushi on Instagram at Sushi Short Film. We don't have a Facebook, do we? It's just the Instagram, right?
Just the Instagram.
All right. Sushi Short Film, Instagram. Follow it. Keep up to date on it. All our Indiegogo backers, thank you again. We will keep you updated as we get updated. Like I said, film is picture locked, so we are waiting on the final product, too. And then honestly, just keep a lookout for all of our future projects we want to work on. I think 2022 is right around the corner. We want to definitely maybe film two things. I know of two projects right now we want to try to film in 2022, maybe three. So if we can give us money, follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Lighting Up the Marquee. And then I don't know when I'll see y'all again. So until next time, I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.